Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
The show where we take a source, could be a paper, a report, sometimes a whole collection.
And really dig in. We pull out the key insights, the stuff you actually need to know.
Basically, we do the sifting for you, trying to get to the core of the topic efficiently.
And today, our source is maybe a bit different for us. Not a typical biology paper, actually. It's a really seminal piece of philosophy.
That's right. We're looking at Thomas Nagel's paper, What Is It Like to Be a Bat? It was published in the Philosophical Review way back in 1974.
Yeah, a classic. And, you know, it's not about bat biology in the usual sense. He wasn't, like, doing field research.
No, not at all. He uses the bat as a kind of thought experiment, a really powerful one, actually, to get at this incredibly persistent problem, consciousness, subjective experience, the mind-body problem.
Okay, so that's our mission for this deep dive, then. Using Nagel's bat, we want to explore why consciousness is such a headache, really, for our standard scientific picture of the world, especially how minds relate to physical bodies, to brains.
And the bat example, it really makes the problem pop. It's quite ingenious.
So Nagel starts off pretty strongly, doesn't he? He basically says consciousness is the reason the mind-body problem is so incredibly hard. He calls it intractable.
He does. And he contrasts it with other big scientific successes. You know, where we figured out that one thing was really another more fundamental thing, reduction, basically.
Right, like lightning. We used to just see it as, well, a big flash, maybe something supernatural.
Exactly, a dramatic event.
Yeah.
But science showed us, okay, lightning is electrical discharge. That's what it is, physically.
Or water. You know, it's wet, we drink it, it flows.
Yeah, our everyday experience of water. But science tells us, fundamentally, water is H2O. Molecules, a specific structure.
Okay.
So in those cases, we move from our experience, often subjective, towards a more objective physical description, something understandable from, you know, multiple viewpoints, not tied to just our senses.
That's kind of the goal of science often, right? Getting to that objective reality underneath the appearances.
Precisely. But Nagel's point is this move towards objectivity, which works so well for lightning or water, it seems to fail. Or at least miss something crucial when it comes to consciousness.
And what's it missing?
It misses what he calls the subjective character of experience. This is his central idea. For any conscious creature, there's something it is like to be that creature.
Ah, what it is like. The title phrase.
That's the one. It's about that first-person perspective, the inner feel. You know, what red looks like to you, what pain feels like, the sound of a trumpet. It's not just about how you behave or what functions your brain performs. It's the qualitative feel.
And that feeling is tied to my point of view or the organism's point of view.
Intrinsically. It's not viewpoint independent. It is a viewpoint.
Okay, so I can already see the problem brewing. If consciousness is this what it's like quality tied to a point of view.
And science aims for objectivity, removing the specific point of view.
How do you square that circle?
Exactly. And that's why he brings in the bat. He needed an example, an organism that we're pretty sure is conscious. It's a mammal complex brain, not like a thermostat.
Right. Seems a safe bet it has some kind of experience.
But its experience must be radically different from ours, completely alien in a way.
Because of echolocation?
Yes. Their main way of sensing the world. They send out these high-frequency sounds.
Right. Clicks or shrieks, often beyond our hearing range.
Right. Ultrasonic. And they listen to the echoes bouncing back. From that, they build up a detailed picture of their surroundings, distance, shape, size, movement, even texture.
So they're perceiving the world through sound, essentially, like a kind of sonar.
It is a biological sonar. Sophisticated perception, no doubt, but it's nothing like our vision or our hearing even.
Okay, so what is it like, subjectively, for the bat to, you know, see with sound?
And that is the question Nagel uses to show the limits of our understanding, specifically our imagination.
Yeah, my first thought is, okay, maybe I can imagine being blindfolded and clicking my tongue, listening really hard.
Or maybe imagine those green sonar screens for movies.
Yeah, exactly.
And Nagel says, nope, that's not it. Try to imagine being a bat by just sort of tweaking our own experience, adding clicks, taking away sight, maybe pretending we have wings.
Uh-huh.
That only tells us what it might be like for us as humans to try and behave like a bat. Or maybe what it'd be like if we suddenly got sonar grafted onto our human minds.
It doesn't get us inside the bat's actual experience.
No, because our imagination is built from our subjective toolkit, our kinds of sensations, feelings, ways of perceiving. We can mix and match them, but we can't fundamentally step outside them.
I see. I'm limited by the kind of mind I have.
Exactly. We can't genuinely conceive what perceiving via sonar feels like from the inside if we've never had anything remotely like that sense. And Nagel pushes this even further. He suggests there could be real facts about what it's like to be a bat, or maybe a Martian, or even another human whose sensory world is completely different, like someone deaf and blind from birth. Facts that aren't just unknown to us, but maybe fundamentally inconceivable given our current concepts.
Wow. So not just things we haven't discovered yet, but things our minds might not even be equipped to grasp.
That's the radical suggestion. It goes against this idea that, you know, reality is just out there and any smart enough being should be able to understand any part of it eventually.
Yeah.
He's saying, no, maybe some facts are intrinsically tied to a particular type of subjective viewpoint.
And these subjective facts are real, even if we can't access them.
That's the idea, a kind of realism about subjectivity itself.
Okay, so bringing this back to the mind-body problem in science. Science likes subjective facts, right? Facts that hold true regardless of who's looking.
Yes. The electrical discharge description of lightning works for anyone, any observer, potentially. It's viewpoint neutral or graspable from many viewpoints.
But the experience of seeing the flash or hearing the thunder, that seems totally tied to having eyes, having ears, being that kind of observer.
Exactly. Take away the specific point of view and what happens to the what it's like. Does it just vanish?
Which seems to be the core problem for physicalism, the idea that mental states are just physical states.
Right. Because physical theories strive for that objective, viewpoint-independent description of reality.
They describe brain states, neurons firing, chemistry. Objectively.
But if the very essence of consciousness, the thing we're trying to explain, is its subjective viewpoint-dependent character, how can an objective description capture that? It seems like the objective approach necessarily leaves out the crucial ingredient, the subjectivity.
So the problem isn't just that we lack the data, like we haven't found the exact neural correlate for the feeling of nostalgia yet.
It's deeper than that, Nagel argues. It's a conceptual gap. We don't even really understand how an objective physical state could be a subjective experience. They seem like fundamentally different kinds of things, described in incompatible ways. The objective description seems to filter out the very what it's like.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a pretty stark challenge. If our current scientific methods, aiming for objectivity, inherently struggle with subjectivity, where does that leave us? Is there any way forward?
Well, Nagel doesn't offer an easy solution. But he does float a very speculative idea towards the end. He calls it objective phenomenology.
Objective phenomenology. Phenomenology is the study of subjective experience. Objective means viewpoint independent. That sounds paradoxical.
It does, yeah. And he admits it's difficult. The hope, I guess, is to find a way to describe the features of subjective experiences, but describe them in a way that doesn't rely on actually having the experience or using empathy or imagination from our own viewpoint.
So, like trying to explain red to someone blind from birth. You can't give them the raw feeling, but maybe you can describe its relationship to light waves or how it contrasts with green or its role in signaling danger.
That's the kind of analogy he gestures towards. Could we develop new concepts, maybe a new formal language, to describe the structural properties, the relational features, the objective facts about subjective states like bat sonar, in a way that's understandable even to beings who can't experience it.
So describing the structure of the experience from the outside, maybe mathematically or logically, rather than trying to feel it from the inside.
Something like that. It's highly speculative, of course. But his thought is maybe we need to understand the mental, the subjective, much better on its own terms, but from an objective stance before we can properly connect it to the physical.
Trying to build a bridge from both sides, perhaps, rather than just reducing one to the other immediately.
Perhaps. It's about taking the subjective nature seriously. Not trying to explain it away, but still finding an objective way to talk about its characteristics. Only then, maybe, could we see how it relates to physical states without losing its essence.
Okay, so wrapping up this deep dive into Nagel's What Is It Like to Be a Bat? The big takeaway seems to be that consciousness, because of its inherent subjectivity, this what it's like quality from a specific point of view, poses a really deep, maybe unique challenge for science's usual methods of objective description.
Definitely. And the bat example just makes that so vivid. Our own imaginative limits when faced with a truly different mind show how viewpoint bound our understanding really is. It suggests there might be facts about experience that are just outside our conceptual reach right now.
And the central tension is this clash. Science pushes for objectivity, getting rid of the viewpoint, but consciousness seems to be fundamentally defined by a viewpoint. So the standard reduction approach feels like it misses the point.
Right. It's presented as a deep conceptual problem, not just a matter of collecting more brain data. You might need new ways of thinking.
That idea of objective phenomenology, while pretty out there, points to that need finding ways to characterize subjective experience objectively before we can truly tackle the mind-body link.
Yeah, it's a very thought-provoking piece.
So let's leave you with a final thought to maybe mull over. If understanding what it is like is the key to consciousness, and that understanding is so tightly bound to a point of view, what does that imply about how we understand other minds, not just bats, but other people? How does this whole challenge of knowing subjective experience, the problem of other minds, reflect back on the fundamental difficulty of understanding consciousness itself? Something to think about.